Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary all this week. And, of course, the Mary Griffith Show is sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches, delivered fresh to make sure that you have a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. If you know me, though, you know coffee works too well on me, and I get really jittery, but I have had it, and it is quite wonderful. Also quite wonderful to have our first guest here in studio, Executive Director of the Community Foundation serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri, Catherine Meckes. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and alongside is the Director of the Quincy Humane Society, Pilar Brumbaugh. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're not here talking about cute and fluffy dogs and cats, though.
Not today,
but talking about something else that enriched you as a person, and we'll get to that here in a moment. Kathleen, we were promoting that Kathleen Helsebeck from the Quincy Public Library was to be here. She may have gotten caught up in something. That happens, as you all know. It just kind of happens. Emergencies happen. But there is a new initiative that you are behind here, Catherine, called the Nonprofit Excellence Initiative. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so this is not just the Community Foundation. This is a collaboration of several different organizations in the Quincy and Adams County area that we call the Quincy Area Funders Collaborative. And this this is the Community Foundation, this is the Tracy Family Foundation, Mormon Foundation, United Way of Adams County, and John Wood Community College Foundation. And this collaborative has actually been around for years. But it wasn't until about 2019 that we started to think, you know, we're all serving nonprofits. We all have this common goal of supporting nonprofits and providing grants and just raising the community up. And we're all doing our own thing, but there's got to be something there that we could collaborate on. We could put our resources together and do something even bigger than any one of us could do alone. And so after some different planning sessions and strategic planning, we all kind of rallied around this idea of capacity building for nonprofit organizations. And that's a little bit of a nonprofit buzzword for anybody that's listening. Capacity building, what does that mean? In a nutshell, all that means is making it easier for our nonprofits to do an even better job at delivering their mission. So strengthening the leaders and providing the tools and resources for the people in these nonprofits to do their jobs better, to be more confident, to be more professional, and to just continue to grow their mission even stronger.
So you've been doing this since September of 2020, and you managed to soldier on through the pandemic.
We did.
Which what that must have been just an additional challenge. A, you weren't anticipating it. Nobody was. But, I mean, what was that like just to work through that, people to come together?
We look back, I think all of us look back on that COVID time as an opportunity of challenge, but also an opportunity of growth. And, yes, we launched the first, what we're calling a cohort, or the first group of participants in the Nonprofit Excellence Initiative right smack in the middle of COVID. It was April of 2020 that we actually selected our participants and kicked this thing off. And we had this whole event planned where we'd all come together in person and we'd have snacks and we'd all, you know, hold hands and you know, get excited together. Well, that didn't happen. So we pivoted, as many of us did, and it's so great because we had a whole Zoom kickoff, and we have this great picture of cohort one, and all the funders are there, the collaborative members, all of our executive coaches who helped us, and then all of our nonprofit leaders, and we're all in our little squares like the Brady Bunch, you know, giving the thumbs up, like, let's do this. So yes, it was, you know, started off very much as a virtual cohort, and thank goodness for technology, because we were able to deliver all of this programming in a virtual session, but we were certainly missing out on that in-person relationship building. And so by the time we got to cohort two, which kicked off in March of 2022, which Pilar was a part of, we were able to really do it big and do it in person and add in some more elements that I think really elevated the program, like things like our networking sessions where we all got together and just talked and just talked about our challenges, talked about opportunities, and brainstormed together as a group how we can overcome those or grow.
So basically, this is just a way to really kind of raise all boats in the nonprofit world in Quincy and Adams County then, from what I'm getting, right?
That's exactly right. So what we're looking at is a two-year program. And so we start off getting a baseline. So each of these nonprofits that are participating will take some assessments and kind of see, okay, these are the things that we as an organization and me as a leader, we're doing really well, and these are the areas that we can grow in and focus some resources on to strengthen. And so once we have that baseline, then we'll provide the tools to actually, you know, make those improvements. That includes leadership trainings, you know, talking things like going to Northwestern University up in Chicago to take a nonprofit finance class, or the Lilly School of Philanthropy over in Indiana to take a fundraising class, whatever that might be, whatever that looks like for the director. We match them with an executive coach, so a seasoned nonprofit executive that's maybe retired now and has some extra time and wants to kind of give that knowledge back. So matching them up with that coach to help them work through some of those opportunities. And I mentioned our networking session. So this ended up being a really unexpectedly amazing part of this, because it was very, you know, unstructured. We would get these directors together in a room and let's just leave our to-do list back at the office and talk about, you know, things that we need to get off our chest, or things that we are just kind of, you know, struggling with and just need a little bit of support. And it really built up some really fantastic relationships.
How different was it for you personally, Catherine? Because you said unstructured, and I that kind of like turned a light on for me, because it's like, you're one of those structured people around. You really, and I mean that in a really good way. I really mean that in a good way. How was that for you to just be like unstructured and to just say, you know what, here's what I really think. Was there a moment like that, or just how did it go for you personally?
I think those networking sessions that were kind of that casual environment, it was completely unexpected. I remember us as funders, like you said, we like to have some regiment. We like to have it all laid out. And I feel like what happened in this is we came in, we were like, okay, well, we need to have an agenda for these executive directors. So we're going to put this agenda together, and we're going to talk about this, 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 and this. And then we get in there, and these executive directors, I think they're, you know, they have so much work during the day, and there's fire drills, and there's things that come up, and getting the opportunity to step away from that and just talk with your peers, we didn't need the agenda, we found. They were so fantastic and so open, and we're seeing people, they have this commonality that they work in a nonprofit and they're a nonprofit leader, but we've got animals over here and senior citizens over here, very different parts of the nonprofit sector. But there's so much overlap in the things that they're dealing with every day, and just so much support from one another to grow, and that was really amazing.
Right, and just from the training it sounds like that you're getting, I mean, the fact that you mentioned like Indiana University, Northwestern University, this is some really high-level training that people are getting that they wouldn't be normally exposed to.
That's right. We really wanted to create a comprehensive program and put some time around it, because I think oftentimes when we're looking at improving ourselves, it's like, okay, well, I'll get to that. But by having a little more like, structure to it, it's like, okay, this is a two-year program, and this is when you're going to do this. It kind of pushes us to actually do it and to really commit to it during that time frame. And, you know, Pilar, I know you took some classes and hopefully got a lot out of that too.
Oh yeah. My goodness, yes. Yeah. I don't think I ever thought I would take a financial analysis course going back to one of my favorite cities in Indianapolis. And boy, it was amazing.
Right. Here.
Again.
Yeah. After our 9:30 break, I want to speak with you, Pilar.
Yeah,
I want to find out exactly what it was that you got out of it and how you think that it's going to improve you and the Humane Society. So we'll have that coming up. Catherine, real quick, I wanted to ask you, some of the participants in the first cohort, like Bella Ease, Horizons, the Community Theater, Cheerful Home, and the Y. Have you heard from them afterwards about the results of what they got from this program?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a fellow nonprofit, you know, the Community Foundation is a little unique. We're a nonprofit, but we're also a funder, in that we make grants, and so we keep in close tabs with all of our grantees, and especially with our Nonprofit Excellence Initiative members. And we've seen fantastic growth with all these organizations. I do feel like they all took it very seriously and have carried forth what they learned to continue to strengthen their own operations.
Very, very good. Catherine Meckes with the Community Foundation of West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri, Pilar Brumbaugh with the Humane Society. We're going to find out what Pilar learned and what she's planning to change in the future with the Humane Society, if anything. That's going to be on the way, but stay tuned. We'll take a break and be back with our first update on the commodity markets from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. It's on the way here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Available now wherever you buy your coffee, or you can have it delivered straight to your workplace like we do. It's what wakes up Mary every morning, so enjoy that as well. We were talking earlier in the program with Catherine Meckes of the Community Foundation, also Pilar Brumbaugh, about a new program. It is called the Quincy Area Funders Collaborative. It's a way for nonprofits in the area to really kind of get real with what it is that they need to do in order to accomplish and really to make sure that everybody is successful in what they are doing. The second cohort just finished up, and that included Pilar with the Quincy Humane Society. And all righty, Pilar, what have you learned, and how will you apply that to the Humane Society?
First I have to just say, what an opportunity for any nonprofit organization that has the opportunity to be a part of something like this. As a community, we're so fortunate to be able to have funders that will come together and see a need for the nonprofits that they're working alongside, and to be able to invest in those nonprofit leaders one cohort at a time. It's pretty awesome. As Catherine mentioned, you had the networking sessions, which it's always nice to know you're not alone, but that the problems or challenges or successes and ideas that you have can go from animals to seniors to the public school foundation and to the library as well. So we all have our different things going on in our worlds, but we all can come together and relate to those things. As I mentioned just a little bit, my opportunity that I took on was going to the IU School of Philanthropy, the Lilly School, I should say, and I did a financial analysis course. If you know me outside of Humane Society numbers, people I could talk to all day, numbers, what? I did a 2-day financial analysis course thanks to this wonderful cohort opportunity, and it really opened my eyes to seeing, you know, when I'm looking at a budget, I'm looking at a general ledger, when I'm looking at fundraising as a whole, what are my goals, what am I doing? And what do all these things mean? How do they all come together? It was really eye-opening and something that I will take with me to help me grow with our organization and look at numbers, for sure.
Did you literally have like an aha moment about how that whole process worked?
Yeah. I really did. It was truly eye-opening, and again, another opportunity to talk with nonprofit leaders. Some of them have taken other courses in that little fundraising nonprofit world over at the School of Philanthropy, and so to be able to network with them as well was truly invaluable.
Yeah, I kind of feel like when you mentioned that, you know, talking to people all day, it's like, hey, that sounds familiar. I'm kind of that same way, you know.
Yes.
Numbers,
yes.
You know, it's 2 + 2 = 4. That's fine,
yes.
But you know,
yep.
Long-term budgeting and things like that—that's mm-hmm. another matter as well. But
yep.
I imagine that kind of opened your eyes about
it. Really did
the needs for the Humane Society like 5, 10, 15 years from now, even.
Absolutely. You know, our organization is very blessed. This year we're celebrating our 145th anniversary. We did not get to this point without really looking at the numbers, looking at community support, looking at grant opportunities, looking at so many different things. We can dream a big dream. But at the end of the day, we got to put a pencil to paper, and how is that dream going to be made possible? And really, the cohort experience, funders made that possible for us to continue that thinking and to keep that going.
One thing that I wanted to ask you particularly, you were in the latest cohort with some other nonprofits locally. Were some of those people that, like, you'd never met them before, for instance, or did you know everybody involved?
I knew, I'm trying to think now. I knew one, I knew of another, and I hadn't met one yet.
Let me help you with that, because Catherine was nice enough to send me some of the paperwork
I knew, I didn't know Jeannie through Good Samaritan Home.
Okay.
Yes, so I knew Heidi from a previous grant opportunity, and then I knew Kathleen just in nonprofit world leadership. But so I was able to build a different relationship with each of them, which was really great.
I was going to say, did you feel like it's like, you know, a shared experience like that? Did it kind of bring you all closer together a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Whether that's working relationships, how can we partner together to, hey, this is a great idea, or I saw that, you know, this was on my feed for another animal shelter or another school. It was really, and we're all supporting one another in our fundraising efforts and our missions and what we're doing in the community, which is really great.
Do you think that there might be some opportunities in the future where you guys kind of work together?
Oh, absolutely. On fundraisers? I could see it. I could see it happening. Like, never say never.
Yeah, like a reading event and, oh, puppies show up, you know, things like that.
I like it. And then you have to be there too, right? We can tie it all together. There
well, yeah, I puppies are cuter than me, so they're not going to want to see me, but definitely the puppies. But I mean, just things like that to get people talking and just see where these ideas go from there. I mean,
right. That's
got to be a reward in and of itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of opportunities for us to all partner together, whether that's bringing pets to the schools, whether that's bringing pets to visit the senior members of our community, maybe it's bringing the bookmobile out to our facility for an event or some opportunity. There's a lot of different things that we can
maybe
do.
Letting Pilar drive the bookmobile.
Oh, no one wants that.
Okay. Well, you have to go through training for that too, so yeah, you would have to go to the John Wood Occupation Training Center there on Cook's Lane. So yeah, Kathleen had to do that. So
yes.
Yeah. But all right. Here's the moment that I know Catherine has been waiting for. As somebody who went through the cohort, would you recommend this to anybody else in the community who hasn't gone through something like this?
Absolutely. I didn't say that loud enough. Absolutely. You'd be crazy not to. Always take that chance to apply. Since I've been in the nonprofit leadership world, for the last 3, going on 4 years, I know I've personally been blessed with support from people like Catherine, from funders that believe in our organization, believe in me as a leader, and you can't have that unless you take that chance. Always, when you have the opportunity, if you meet the qualifications, apply. Take the opportunity. You just never know. I never could have dreamed when we applied for this opportunity 2 years later, what that would look like for our organization. And it's so exciting. It's been a truly fantastic opportunity, not just for me as a leader, not just for our organization, but for all of those involved, whether that's our board, our volunteers, our staff. Everyone seems to feel more confident in their voice and sharing that to help move our organization forward.
Right.
And that's really in part to the cohort.
Yeah, and it gets you more tied in, you and the organization more tied into the community as a whole.
Absolutely.
And it just goes and goes and goes from there. So we've been telling you about this now for about 20 minutes, and if you're excited about this, Catherine, there is a new cohort forming this fall, right?
Well, stay tuned. We don't have a timeline yet.
Okay.
So we just wrapped up cohort 2. We're actually in the middle of kind of another small kind of mini cohort we call LEAD, which is kind of a smaller, lighter version of this Nonprofit Excellence Initiative. So we're going to wrap that one up and, you know, evaluate when we'll launch cohort 3. So stay tuned.
All righty. Catherine will tell us more when and if that happens, and we will be happy to let you know about it as well. Just a way to get to know more about not only your organization, but ways to look at your organization differently, and to link up with other nonprofits in the Quincy and Adams County area, and to really gain more from what it is you're trying to do. So pretty exciting stuff. Stay tuned for more of that. Catherine Meckes, Pilar Brumbaugh, ladies, thank you so much. I know I learned a lot. So
Thank you so much.
We're coming up on 9:40. When we come back, we will talk with Suzanne Ellerbrock about Safe Moves for Seniors and a fundraising effort that they have got. And I'll grill Suzanne on why she's not one of these cohorts yet. So we'll find out more about that here on The Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to The Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, available wherever you get your coffee. try it today. 9:43, 17 in front of the hour. A frequent guest here, not only to the Mary Griffith Show, but also on WTAD, Suzanne Ellerbracht with Golden Bridges. Welcome.
How are you today?
Doing great. How about you?
I am wonderful, and today's a gorgeous day. So.
Yes, it really, really is. And now that I mentioned it earlier to our previous guests, the machines are working across the street at the Historical Society, digging as well, because they were kind of still. It's always funny when they work.
Yes, you never know. Some days you think, why aren't they working? And other days you're like, why are they working?
Yeah,
today's a perfect day for work.
Yeah, cloudy and rainy, but yet there they are. And other times it's like today, sunny. It's like, where are those guys? But that's neither here nor there. Suzanne is one of the owners of Golden Bridges. And what you do is, just to refresh people, you meet with people who are basically having to decide what they want to do with their lives in terms of their homes, whether they want to move to assisted living, to sheltered living, things like that. You help them kind of clean things up and make that move so much easier.
We do, and we try to tell people, do it now while you can make the decision. When we got into the business, it was to help the seniors, but we realized everybody, all ages, needs help. So we just encourage people to think about what they need. If they can't do it on their own, we're their extra hands and feet, but they're always in control of the decisions.
Right. But basically, if you're listening in and if you've ever been in a move and you reach that point of being overwhelmed and it's like, what the heck am I going to do with this stuff? Well, Suzanne and everybody there at the Golden Bridges, you have a pretty good idea of what to do with that stuff.
We do. After 12 years, we know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you have a garage sale or you know, donate it or whatever, it's like, you can make that stuff gone.
We can make it gone, yes.
Yeah. And you are having a fundraiser, and that is coming up Friday, and from 4 until 8, and you're working with Panera and just raising some money. And tell us more about that.
Well, it's through our philanthropic arm, Safe Moves for Seniors. We established that back in November of 23, where not everybody can afford our services. We have seniors living in our community that are living at or below poverty, and I hate to say that, but that's $1,250 a month. That's it. That's all the money that they're making. Yet they're living in a house or an apartment that is truly unsatisfactory, but they can't move because they can't afford it. So Safe Moves for Seniors was designed to raise money to help those individuals that are 60 or above, living in poverty, move to maybe more suitable housing. But like anything, and we just had the fundraisers in here, we need money to do that. So we've partnered up with Panera Bread, again, this Friday from 4 to 8, and 25% of all net sales will come back to Safe Moves for Seniors. And I just read the fine print today. All day long, any online order will count towards our goal, too. So I know there's people out there that are ordering online. That will help us tremendously.
Nice. One thing here in the information here for the interview that you pointed out is that the foundation is really needed because, you know, people don't realize it at first, but it's not cheap to move.
It is not. And for the seniors that we're helping through Safe Moves for Seniors, we try to keep it between $2,000 and $2,500 for the move. But that includes the services of a vendor like Golden Bridges. It includes the services of the movers. It includes trash hauling. And those add up. So somebody that can't afford our services, it's going to be a lot more expensive, strictly because there's a lot more things to go through. But when you're talking about a senior that's living in poverty, they have very few belongings. But we need to sort through them, make sure they're the right things to take to their new apartment. We need to pack them up. And hopefully, if we have enough funds, we can unpack them and settle them in, just like we do for all of Golden Bridges clients, because they deserve to move with dignity.
Right, and I know that's a main part of what you guys do is moving people with dignity, where you don't boss people around at all. You come in and say it's probably a good idea for you. Like you just make suggestions. Like it's probably a good idea. Depending on where you're moving, do you have an idea of what you want to do based on the square footage?
Exactly.
And then knowing what exactly is the most prized possessions they have that are going to fit in that square footage, and it's all in a gentle way.
Oh, most definitely. And again, it doesn't matter what your economic status is. You deserve to have your things with you. And a lot of our seniors will put things into a black plastic bag, and in our world, that's trash. And then they get on the bus and they move to their new place with whatever they can transport themselves. That's not right. They've worked hard all their lives. Circumstances have put them where they are today. So why should they be any different than anybody else? They need that dignity. And that's what we're trying to tell people. We exist. We are the only not-for-profit in the United States that does this. We're headquartered in Pittsburgh. We have 13 locations throughout the U.S. And Quincy was the first one to jump on the bandwagon because we know there's a need in our community.
Right, right. And there is quite the need because, of course, Quincy does, you know, out of the about 39,000 residents, quite a bit of people are 50 and older in this community. And
they are.
That's only going to increase here over the next 20 years.
Oh, our baby boomers are aging. And
yes.
Again, you know, life changes for us. We never know if the health condition is going to happen. We don't know if a death is going to happen. So as we look at those that are living in poverty, it's not because they want to. It's because circumstances have changed their lives. And we're only here to give them that support that they need to recognize them as the individuals that they are, not the circumstances that they're in.
Exactly, exactly. Once again, we're talking about a fundraiser coming up this Friday for the folks here with Safe Moves for Seniors, a foundation to help people who need to make a move into more, I guess, appropriate housing
right.
for them at their stage in life. And basically, 25% of the net sales at Panera there at 3738 Broadway are going to be donated to Safe Moves for Seniors. And just use the code FUN. FUND for you at PaneraBread.com if you order online or through the Panera app or at the kiosk in cafe as well to place your order online. And all of that will go to Safe Moves for Seniors. And just to fill in the gaps, because we mentioned earlier, just basic math that we talked about, a lot of seniors have incomes of anywhere from like $1,200 to maybe $1,500 a month based on how they did in their life with Social Security as their only source of income. And a move can cost like at least $2,000, if not more. So you're there to help fill in that gap.
We're there to fill a gap. In fact, we ask for family to help if they can, because if the family can help with the sorting of items, that saves time. So we don't have to charge for that time. If we can find volunteers that will help pack, again, that saves time and stretch the dollars that we have in our account. Right now, I have to tell you, if someone called me and said, I need your help, I have $1,000 in my account. That's not going to help them. That's
right.
Not going to give them everything they need. Don't get me wrong. If they call, we're going to figure out a way to do what we can for them. But it's fundraisers like this through Panera that's going to give us some more money that when that call does come through, we're able to say, yes, we can help you with all aspects of the move. But the more the family can do, the more the volunteers can do, the more people we can help.
Yeah, exactly. And because it sounds like you're undergoing the same thing as well, where it's like you have to think twice, well, I can do maybe this or maybe that, instead of just knowing, having the security, having that money there in the bank and saying, yes, we'll do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's why we're just reaching out. Everybody, there's a lot of people. I go through Panera. I see the lines. So if you're listening and you're a Panera, again, order online all day long, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Eat there three times and help our cause. Or if you're just going through for dinner, I'm going to be out of town, but I'm coming back through Quincy just to pick up dinner for my family that night, because 25% is 25%, and your help can just make those dollars grow.
It sure can. It sure can. Now, of course, a lot of planning involved with this, a lot of conversations with people, but still, at the same time, I imagine that you have experienced quite a bit of things in terms of what people have had, what they want to hang on to, that would be pretty unique, I would imagine.
Well, a lot of times we run into those individuals that have traveled the world. So obviously right now they're not Safe Moves for Seniors, but through Golden Bridges, they've traveled the world. So they have all of those trinkets that they've brought back. So that's really cool to see, but they're not going to fit anywhere in their new place because the china cabinet doesn't fit. So we have a lot of conversations about what's going to fit, what truly matters to you, and then what can you part with. And, you know, people have a hard time parting because they work so hard. We just ran into a former client yesterday. She's getting ready to move to Ireland. She is so excited. She's putting her house on the market, and she's going to Ireland. And she has a glass bowl sitting in her dining room that came from Ireland. She's debating, does it go or does it stay? Because she can only take so many things with her to Ireland.
Right.
So everybody has to think about where they're going to go, no matter what you know, your economic status is. You have to think, what really goes with me, what has the most joy, and what can fit in my new apartment. And that's always the toughest, what can fit. And that's where our team comes in, no matter if it's through Golden Bridges or Safe Moves for Seniors. Our team knows what will fit and can make it happen.
Yeah, yeah, that is. I remember after my mom passed and we had an auction for her, and it was one of those, it's like it taught me a lesson of just, you never know, because it was like, day of the auction, it's crowded, people are, you know, picking over her stuff and like that and looking around at it, as an auction happens, as they go around and all that. And it's like, and it was just one of those points where it really kind of got to me.
It does, because it's very emotional. So when we have clients now, most of the auctions are done online.
Yeah.
So our clients are following it maybe online, but we encourage them not to, because what is valuable to you is not necessarily going to bring you the money you think. So we really talk with our clients and say, how much do you seriously need the money versus can you do good by donating? Because you're disappointed when you have an auction.
Right.
You truly are. And those auctioneers work hard. You know, they get everything set up for you. They post it all online. They take care of all the financial pieces of it. You know, so there's a cost involved with that. And they're trying to do their very best for you. But in the end, it all depends on who's online and who's looking for what you have.
Right.
And we're saturated. We're one big garage sale right now.
Yeah.
One big garage sale.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing about that story, though, Suzanne, is right as I'm at this lowest point, the auctioneer is about halfway through, and then I start hearing 600, 600. Will I take 700, 700, 800? And I'm like, and I looked at my wife at the time there, and it's like, what could that be? I was not anticipating anything where they were at to be that expensive. And it was just an old piece of specialty pottery, like a collected set that she had bought for maybe $100. She kind of had her eye out for it. And it went for over like $1,100. And I was not expecting that at all.
You are right. There are surprises.
Not that I wasn't doing what you were thinking in terms of like, oh, we're going to get this. And it's just like, we're going to get what we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, it's going to be taken care of. And that's the thing.
And that's exactly right. We tell our clients that it's going to go somewhere to somebody that appreciates it. So as you're downsizing, people say, well, my kids don't want it. But you're right. Maybe your niece or nephew does. Maybe one of your cousins do. So you have to look differently at where those things get distributed. And, through Safe Moves for Seniors, our clients don't have a lot of things, but we want to make sure that there's still the things that they want and that they're in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to move things that are broken. Things that aren't bringing you joy, that old TV console doesn't need to move. Let's see about getting you into a new home surrounded by the things that you love the most. Because, again, everybody deserves to move with dignity, and that's what Safe Moves for Seniors is doing.
It's kind of the theme for this morning here on WTAD is pre-planning.
Yes. So important.
It, for everything, we talked with Harrison Monuments about it. We always talk with Hanson Spear about it. And with the Golden Bridges and Safe Moves, pre-planning. It's so important to really put it, even if you just need to get a notepad and put it down on paper, the things that you really want that you know, or you want them to go to certain people.
Exactly.
So that way they'll have it and they'll be happy and you'll rest easy knowing that it's in somebody's hands who really wants it.
Right, and right now we're getting calls from people that are in emergency situations. They've taken a fall. They've had a loved one die. Now they have to move. So we're telling people, start thinking about it while you can, while you're not in crisis mode, just like all the others listed. Usually we're planning our funeral of the loved one that just died and we had no plans.
Right.
We're planning the monument, the finances, whatever it is. Start thinking about it now. Even at our age, you've got to think about it. I mean, we have it laid out in my household, who's getting what. Basically, it's all getting sold and the money's getting divided. You just make a decision. But then if you need help, let us know and we can guide you through it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said earlier, it's going to happen.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's just a matter of when.
It's just a matter of when, and it's best to be prepared. So, again, folks, help out this nonprofit organization, a branch of Golden Bridges, Safe Moves for Seniors, because everybody needs to be treated with dignity this Friday at Panera Bread and there at 36th and Broadway from 4 until 8, raising money for Safe Moves for Seniors. 25% of the net sales going to be donated at Panera. So, yeah, Buy. Get as much Panera as you can. Get a couple of loaves. Keep it there.
Definitely. It doesn't matter what you're ordering, as long as you're ordering something. So we have to have a minimum of $100 in sales. So I think somewhere between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, we can surpass that by far. But, it doesn't... you can go in and get your loaf of bread for the next day. Whatever it is, those proceeds will go to Safe Moves for Seniors.
Yeah, and if you haven't been in a while, this is a really good reason for you to go back and check out the selection there at Panera, because again, 25% of all the funding all the money that they sell, the receipts, it goes to Safe Moves for Seniors for what they do to make sure that people have dignity in their life when they move, are treated with the respect that they're due, and to make sure that everything that they want to have moved gets moved, and in a kind, compassionate way. And I imagine you hear from families all the time about that, just expressing their gratitude.
We do. We do. We've got a great community. They love what we can do to help them. But again, this is taking it to a different level of our residents, and we just want to make sure that everybody knows we're here to help them as well.
Right.
People say, hey, you're expensive. Well, we're of a great value, but not everybody can afford us, so Safe Moves for Seniors is designed just for that.
Right, because with the Golden Bridges, I mean, you're finding ways to get rid of things, and that's time intensive, mm-hmm. and it's labor intensive.
Very.
So you've got a bill for that as well. And one way, and yet at the same time, you've come up with this foundation, Safe Moves for Seniors, in order to help those a little less able to do that and yet needing the dignity. Suzanne Elderbrock, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good to be here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very, very much. In the few seconds we have left, coming up for you tomorrow on the program, we will be having our usual Arts Beat coming up for you, and lots more, finding out what's going on with the Quincy Society of Fine Arts. Laura Sievert will be... She'll take the time. She'll be talking about Iowa football, because she always teases Mary about Iowa versus Illinois. So Mary's not here. So,
whoa.
Yeah, and really, Fontbonne College didn't have a football team back in my day. It's 10 o'clock. Good morning, everybody.